But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Would you turn with me to Joel chapter 2? And I shall read from the very text that the Apostle Peter was either quoting or reading. I don't know which. But this is where his text came from. Joel chapter 2, verse 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice. For the Lord will do little bitty things once in a while. Now what it says at all. For the Lord will do great things. Verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's what I want to emphasize. All flesh. Everyone say all flesh. Everybody here that wants the Holy Ghost. All of them. We want them all to receive the Holy Ghost. Not next week, next month. We want them to receive it tonight. Hallelujah. When all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And also upon your servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. Praise God. In recent months and even in the last year, I have been traveling a great deal. It's very tiring on my body, but I feel a great need. I try so very, very hard, rarely do I fail, to be at home for my regular services. But every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, and oft times on Friday, I am somewhere else preaching. Last year, I preached 250 times in that year. And there is one thing that there is such a common desire among our people, and that is they want to see a demonstration of God's holy power. Hallelujah. We want to see God work in our midst. We want to see God heal the sick and perform miracles among us. Just recently conducted a Holy Ghost rally, and there was several came to in the state of Mississippi. 10 years ago, I would have been assassinated for preaching when I preached there. But praise the Lord. I shouldn't have said that. Mark that off, please. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we had a tremendous move of the Holy Ghost. And many received the Holy Ghost. And they called my attention to one lady who was very, very deaf. She had on hearing aids on both sides, in both ears. And they said she could not understand what I was saying. That if I stood immediately in front of her and touched her hands, I don't know what that had to do with it. But anyhow, if I would touch her hands, she would be able to understand me better. So I did. And gave her instructions. And the power of the Holy Ghost came upon her. And she began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And as I went about helping others and praying with others, I noticed that someone was along with her and there was quite a bit of excitement. And she was taking both of those hearing aids off. To my amazement, and I understood it perfectly, and I believe I did, she had no eardrums at all. They had manufactured her artificial eardrums. She had had 6 operations by the time she was 18 months old. She was now more than 50 years old, and she could hear only slightly. But now she was hearing the drums play without her hearing aids. And then she could hear the bass guitar. Then she could hear the piano. Then she was hearing us sing. And then she could hear us speak. And finally, at the conclusion of the service, the pastor was holding both of the hearing aids, different than anything I had ever seen in all of my life, in his hand. She was standing behind him. And he said, "I don't know how old this woman is. I would hesitate to ask her." And immediately, standing behind him, not being able to see him, and with the hearing aids in his hands, she said, "I'm 56 years old." She had heard and understood him perfectly. Praise the Lord. This was only a few months ago. More recently, in Charleston, West Virginia, a sister came and sit on the front row. And the little sister that brought her, a real soul winner, I tried to talk to this new person and welcome them. And they spoke out and said, "Brother Cole, she cannot hear you. But if you get close to her, she will be able to understand and read your lips." And she said, and the lady that brought her said, "She desires the Holy Ghost." This was on a Thursday night Bible study night. And so I said, "Well, bring her up here now." And so I stepped down in front of the pulpit, took her hands again, looked straight at her, and began to talk. And while I was talking, she began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And then she threw her head down and went, "Oh, oh, oh." Suddenly her ears opened and she could hear perfectly. God miraculously healed her. Praise the Lord. Just a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, I was in a suburb of Kansas City. There was a sister came and told me this morning, "Is she here? Here she is. Would you stand? Would you give the testimony? Another one scheduled for operation the next day." Praise God. 11 months old. Scheduled for operation the next day. Miraculously healed by the power of God. I have deliberately chosen these testimonies because they are so recent and because these folks need that kind of touch in their body. And that healing process is working right now. God is performing miracles among them and among you. Hallelujah. I tell you, when God begins to heal the sick and to demonstrate his power, it causes a great deal of excitement. Isn't that true? We get excited about what the Lord is doing. In a service one time, it was so exciting, and there was one character, he was so very tall, and just towered over me. He was so offended by me and everybody else, and he was waiting for me at the back door. Well, I sensed that he was waiting for me, so I thought, the quicker I went, the less angry he would be. So I could tell that he was angry. So I went quickly to him, hoping that I got there in time not to be murdered or something. Praise God. And so when I went back there, he said, "Preacher, I don't like all this emotion." I said, "Well, sir, why not?" And he just crossed his arms like this and looked down at me and he said, "Because I am not emotional." I said, "Oh, you are so. You're mad right now. If you can get mad, you get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll get glad." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to demonstrate his power. Yes, he does. He'll not only heal the sick, but he will fill with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's the greatest miracle that God performs today. seen a little girl receive the Holy Ghost, 18 years old, member of the Church of England, blind. She could not even see a light. And when God filled her with the Holy Ghost, she had formed a habit as a child of closing her eyes when she prayed. And when she opened her eyes, she was seeing me for the first time. She had heard my voice, but my voice is not fat. And so when she opened her eyes and seen me, she said, "Oh my goodness, what a fat man." But God had miraculously opened her eyes. And thank God for that. But the greatest miracle that happened to her that night was not the opening of her eyes. The greatest miracle when God gave her the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you folks have seen hundreds and thousands receive the Holy Ghost in this tabernacle. And if God can fill the Holy Ghost in this tabernacle, He can do anything. Because He's already done the greatest. Hallelujah. 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 And you know what? The United Pentecostal Church is beginning to, on a mass scale, lay aside traditions that have hindered us. We've had some traditions that have hindered us. And people have got the Holy Ghost in spite of us. I don't expect anybody but your pastor to be brave enough to say amen right now. But it's the truth anyhow. We've done a lot of things to hinder people from receiving the Holy Ghost, and we're getting rid of some of that. The traditions we need are the ones that's in the book. Praise the Lord. I seen a fellow get the Holy Ghost one time, and he really got it. I mean, he got it. And he was down on his knees like this. Now, I don't know who started that. It sure wasn't the Apostle Paul. Time to laugh, Billy Cole. It wasn't the Apostle Peter. I think it was John. John Wesley. On the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Ghost where they were sitting. While the apostle yet spoke to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Now that is apostolic. You might say, Brother Cole, well, I got it kneeling. Fine. That's perfectly all right. You can get it anyway. But you got it Methodist style. Praise the Lord. Amen. And there was four men around this guy, you know. And they all wanted to help him get the Holy Ghost. And by the way, this is not a parable. This really happened. He was on his knees, and one fella, don't worry about my sleeve, I just busted the button off. One fella had a hold of his wrist, Brother Griffiths, with an absolute death grip. It's a wonder his hand hadn't withered and died. And he had a hold of his elbow with his right hand. And he was leaping and shouting hallelujah. And every time he would jump, he would nearly tear that poor man's arm right out of his shoulder. Go ahead and laugh. You know it's truth. And then there was another brother. He wanted to help. And he was behind him. And you're talking about a YMCA massage. Now, he was getting it. Now, I don't know if he was putting him in joint or out of joint, but he was different when he left than when he came. He was rubbing him down. And then there was another brother, he wanted to help too. So he was right beside him, giving him this. And every time he would smack his hands, you know, that poor man's head would just go like this. And then there was another one, you know. He had his hands on his head, giving him this. It's a wonder it hadn't broke his neck. Now, I know it sounds impossible, but that guy got the Holy Ghost. You know what has happened? The devil has stolen our faith. And we have tried to substitute physical exercise for faith, and it will not substitute. It will not work. But what I feel in this tabernacle tonight is absolute apostolic faith. God wants to do great things. Remember one time when I was in Indonesia, and there was a tremendous move of the Holy Ghost in Indonesia. And about the time that I was there in the island of Java, we received a letter from the island of Sulawesi, and they wanted someone to come and help them. A presbyter of 18 churches had written the letter, and he made the remark that a lady evangelist had come by many, many years ago, and they had been baptized in Jesus' name, but they had not received the Holy Ghost, and they did not know how to receive the Holy Ghost. And they had written to several Pentecostal organizations, and without exception, no one had answered them. And so now they were writing to the United Pentecostal Church, asking us to come and help them. Brother and Sister White were very elderly in those days and could not make such a trip. And I had to be there. I happened to be there at the time the letter arrived. So armed with the general superintendent of the nation, who could not speak a word of English, and an interpreter, we boarded the plane and headed for Sulawesi, or boarded the train and headed for Sulawesi. We traveled on the train all night long after Sunday night service and arrived at daylight. Brother Andrea said to me, "Now, Brother Cole, when you get there, there's going to be 800 taxi cab drivers." I thought, oh, what an exaggeration, but it really wasn't. It's going to be, and they're all going to want you as their fare because you are fat and you are white. And they'll think you're rich. And so he said, "Now, they're all thieves. They're all Muslim. And they're all thieves. And they will steal from you." Well, in those days, you know, the Lord has recently blessed me, but in those days, I had everything I owned in the world, either in my pockets or in my one broken down suitcase. And I sure didn't want to lose. What would I do if I would lose my britches? They sure didn't have any in Indonesia to fit me. So I was very protective. I put everything in my pockets, in just one pocket, Brother Kilgore, so I could keep my hand on it. And here they come when we stopped. It was as if we had driven down into a river. I thought surely they would come through the doors, but they didn't. They come through the windows, come everywhere, just like a flood. And I couldn't speak the language, but when someone reached for my suitcase, they sure got the message quickly. Because I grabbed that suitcase and pulled it down so fast that they went into a spin. And they knew I meant, don't bother my suitcase. And so when we got outside, they swarmed around us like a couple of high school boys are fighting at school. And they swarmed around us. All of them wanted us for a fare. And we didn't know who to take. because there was only a half a dozen cars. The rest of them were these bicycle rickshaw type things. Three-wheel bicycle deals, you know. And they had these little tires on them. I wouldn't have got in one of them for nothing. Surely they would have had a blowout. And I'd have had to pay for the whole bicycle. And so all I knew to do was pray. He had told me they're all Muslim. They're all Islam people. So I prayed and I said, I'll take you. He happened to have a car, a 1933 Ford, if I remember right. Didn't have a scratch on it. And so through the interpreter, I asked him, I said, do you know anything about Christianity? He said, oh, yes, I am a Christian. How about that? We got a Christian driver. So the Lord was with us. And I said, do you know anything at all about receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues? He said, oh, yes. He said, I am a member of the Assemblies of God, and I have been tarrying for 10 years. I do not know how to receive the Holy Ghost. I said, you're going to receive it today. The Holy Ghost already told me that you're going to receive it today. And God be my witness, 30 minutes later, sitting in the lobby of the hotel, he was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God give the utterance. Praise the Lord. He was the charter member of what is now a very large United Pentecostal church in that city. Several hundreds of members. Anyhow, we had a ticket on an airlines that didn't even exist. So who are you going to fuss with? You just have to wait, you know. And 2 days later, we was able to go to this very primitive island called Sulawesi. And the churches were in the interior of Indonesia, 150 miles interior. We had to ride a bus like I have never seen before in all my life anywhere in the world. It was the ricketiest old bus. The fenders just flopped up and down like bird wings, you know. And it had places for windows, but there was no glass. Seats were made out of straight, flat boards and put ever so close for those tiny little Indonesian people. And so I had to crowd myself into one of those buses. And what a ride. It took 23 hours to go 150 miles. Every bridge was out. We'd have to get down off of the bus and walk through the rivers in the nighttime. And then he would drive the empty bus through the river. And he always made it. And then we would get back on the bus and go a little farther. And, I was so tired. In all of this traveling, we only passed three automobiles in 23 hours. We passed three cars, three vehicles. And one time we stopped. They would stop about every 30 minutes. They had a full-time mechanic on the bus. He had two carburetors with him and three fuel pumps. And every 30 minutes, he'd change one of them. Right. So on one occasion, we stopped. And I was so tired that I got out and laid down right along the side of this little one-way road. And one of those vehicles that passed us came sailing by, a four-wheel drive Toyota. And when the driver seen me laying across the road, or alongside the road, I don't know what he thought I was. I'm sure he didn't think I was a human being. But anyhow, he slammed on the brakes and slid sideways right down the road. And when he seen that I was a human being, he said, would you like to go along with us? I said, sure. There was no way I could get lost. There was only one road. It was only one car wide. When you passed someone, you had to get off the road. So there was four of them in the car. I wondered why they were sitting all in the front seat. But I learned when I got there because the whole back floor was covered with watermelons. So that's where I had to sit. Sitting in that side seat. So I sit there and put my legs across the watermelons. Well, that was a whole lot better than that bus. And this young guy, he certainly didn't own the vehicle. It must have been his dad, young guy. And he had real thick glasses. He could hardly see. And he would go so fast. Oh, you're talking about being ready. I was ready for the coming of the Lord. I was talking in tongues all the way. And we were running right along this water canal, a very large canal, Brother Griffiths. And it was getting dark, and he wouldn't slow down. And he would get closer and closer to the window because he couldn't see. But he would still go so fast. And sure enough, here come a whole drove of buffaloes across the road running for the water canal. And he didn't even touch his brakes. He hit one of those buffaloes, kabam, and killed that buffalo deader than a hammer. And when he hit that buffalo, we headed for the water. And we turned, tipped up on two wheels, headed for that canal. And I said, "Oh, Jesus." And that thing come down. Praise the Lord. And when we got stopped, we got out and the whole front of that car was just smashed to pieces. The lights were broke out. The fan was run completely through the radiator. And water and oil was just running down on the street. And there was no way to start that car. Now, you'd have to live in the Orient a while to appreciate this. But he got right in front of it, put his hands in his pocket like this, and laughed and laughed and laughed. That's where I learned to laugh, was in the Orient. And I would have thumbed, but there was nothing to thumb. But in about 2 hours, here come my old bus down the road. And the bus driver was offended at me, you know. But the people loved me, and they pleaded my cause, and he let me back on the bus. And we went a while farther, and I was covered with dust. Everybody was covered with dust, nearly to arrive. And I was so tired, I was nearly paralyzed. And I wrote in the dust, Sister Thompson, on the seat in front of me, "I'm as crazy as a bedbug for doing this kind of stuff." But about that time we arrived, and here was the presbyter along with some of his people and preachers. Their hair was as black as raven feathers. Their eyes were like chunks of coal. And they looked at me with such intensity. And through the interpreter, he said, "I am the pastor of 18 churches with several hundred people. I do not have the Holy Ghost myself, and I do not know how to receive it, nor do my people." And that's when all of the tiredness leaves your body. Yeah. Praise God. And that very day, God filled 57 people with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Throughout that week, 267 received the Holy Ghost. Today, in the island of Sulawesi, there are over 10,000 baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. I never shall forget the presbyter had such a hard time to receive it. And every time he would pray, it would get a little more difficult. He was embarrassed. Everybody around him was receiving the Holy Ghost. So along about the third night of the conference, I said to him, "I don't want you to tarry tonight. Please do not come and tarry. You have so much business to take care of, but you just go about your business. And tomorrow, you come to where I am living." Someone had moved out of a little three-room apartment and let us live there while we were there. "And so you come there and have breakfast with me, and I will talk to you." And I learned something about him. And so he came, And I said, "Dear brother, I do not understand why God has not filled you with the Holy Ghost. Because you are such a good man. You're such a precious man." I had learned that he was a businessman and had owned the only automobile on the island. And in order to do the work of God, he had sold that automobile. He had a radio and a sewing machine. He had sold that. He had a house. He had sold that. And had moved him and his wife and 8 children into one tiny little room. And he was walking through the mountains 200 miles every month to visit 18 churches. And I reiterated all of these things. And I said, "Brother, I just don't understand why God doesn't fill such a good man with the Holy Ghost." Tears at this time is coming down his cheeks. And he said, "I don't understand it either." And I said, "My dear brother, I have just tricked you. You see, you feel that you're good enough, and you are not." 5 minutes later, he was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God. Give the utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. One little preacher came. He said, "My church is next." I said, "Where is your church?" He took me over to the window. I was sitting on the altar. Took me over to the window and he said, "It's up that mountain 6 miles. I said, "Oh, brother, can a car go up there?" He said, "No." I said, "Can a motorcycle go up that mountain?" He said, "Oh, no, you have to walk." And I said, "I cannot do that." And he fell down on his knees and began to cry, just sob. He said, "But you must go. They are so shy, they will not come down to this city. You must go to them." And I said, "I cannot go." He said, "You must go." And I kicked my shoe off. And I said, "Brother, would you touch the bottom of my feet?" And when he did, his hand was red from the blood of my feet. And I said, "Brother, my body is falling apart. I can't go anymore." And he disappeared. And in 2 hours, Brother Kilgore, he came back. He had 10 men with him. And they had wired bamboo poles on a chair. And they said, "Sit down, Brother Cole." And those men carried me 6 miles up that mountain. And 39 more received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. What does it mean? I'll tell you what it means. God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. And God wants to pour out His Spirit tonight in this church, in this tabernacle. God wants to fill every human being in this tabernacle that desires the Holy Ghost. God wants you to have it. God wants you to have it. I said, God wants you to have it. He has made the provision for you to receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Scripture says He's going to pour it out upon every kindred, every tongue, and every people. We're going to see a greater revival in this century than the apostles seen. And that's not a reflection on the apostles. Whenever you folks get convinced of that, and enough more somewhere else, we're going to see it happen. Now, God can't do it till we believe it. But He said the early rain was going to be moderate. Moderate compared to what? Compared to what He's going to do just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to do greater things than He's ever done before in the history of the world. God wants to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've seen the old receive the Holy Ghost. Seen a woman one time come to the service, little tiny woman, not so tall. She received the Holy Ghost. I learned later that she was 84 years old. And when she began speaking with tongues, she fell over on the floor, kapow. And there was no carpet, right on a wooden floor. And I thought, oh my God, she has killed herself. But she didn't. She jumped up and said, I've been a Catholic all my life. Hallelujah. And I've just received what I've always wanted. Hallelujah. Glory. I have seen the young receive the Holy Ghost. How many has ever seen a six-year-old receive the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand high. Look at this cloud of witnesses of children receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have seen those that were chronic seekers receive the Holy Ghost. I remember going out west one time to visit Brother Wendell Gleason when he was still living. And he was pastoring in Twin Falls, Idaho. He had injured himself and was wearing a steel brace over his entire body down to his hips. And sitting in a rocking chair, he said, Brother Cole, these are some of the finest people I have ever pastored in my life. I could ask them to do anything and they will do it. But so many of them have been in the church for years and have not received the Holy Ghost. And I remember what I said to him was, Brother Gleason, I have never given anyone the Holy Ghost in my life because I cannot. But I will preach faith. And if they will believe me, God will give them the Holy Ghost tonight. There was an even 30 came and sat on chairs that night. And after some instructions, the Holy Ghost just began to fall. And it fell on an old man right on the very tip end. And I heard this terrific steel brace rattling. And the reason was because Brother Gleason was jumping up and down with that brace. And he said to me, Brother Cole, that man has been tarrying for the Holy Ghost 30 years. And he's talking in tongues. Praise God. Glory. So I just stopped everybody and said, look at him. And God being my witness, when they seen him, faith hit that place. And the Holy Ghost went down that line. And every last one of them, speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit of God give the utterance. Praise the Lord. I learned after the service that two of them were backsliders. So they were being renewed in the Holy Ghost. And there was one that had tarried for 25 years. A woman that had tarried for 20. Another one that had tarried for 18. There was 11 that had tarried more than 5 years. And every last one of them speaking in other tongues. As the Spirit of God give the utterance. God wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And I have seen people receive the Holy Ghost the very first time they ever come into a Pentecostal service. So many times. First time they ever come, God give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have seen the strong receive the Holy Ghost. One particular incident that stands out in my memory so very much is because the guy scared me so bad. There was 19 received the Holy Ghost that night. And we had tarried, and there was 3 women remaining that wasn't praying through. And I was quite concerned for them. So I stopped them. There's no point in going 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. So I stopped them. And not to control the Holy Ghost, but to work with the Holy Ghost. And so I simply stopped him and asked him. I said, do you have any questions? And just as I said that, here was this great big guy come running down the aisle. I know he wasn't, but he looked like he was 8 foot tall to me. And he had his hand raised and he had his fist doubled up. And I know it wasn't, but his fist looked that big. He just scared me so bad. He come running down the aisle, and he said, "Preacher, I've got a question." Well, I didn't want him to think I was afraid of him, so I stood up on my tiptoes. Didn't help much, but I stood up on my tiptoes, and I said, "What's your question, brother?" And he said, "I'm a sinner. Is there any hope for me?" And I said, "Sit down right here." Now, I don't know how long it takes you to repent, but in 3 minutes, those big old hands was going, and he was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. When they baptized him that night, he leaped completely out of the tank and got everybody wet. And I have seen the weak receive the Holy Ghost. I went to a church in Columbus, Ohio, one Sunday morning, and the pastor had so inspired that congregation's faith that when I walked into the service, I had the sensation, I know it didn't happen, I don't think it happened, but I had the sensation of walking down that aisle 6 inches above the floor. Their faith just lifted me up. Oh, they were expecting something to happen. And in that service, the Spirit of the Lord began to come down. And I remember telling the pastor, "Tell your song leader to cool it." Brother, they was ready to go sky high and a shout. And I wanted to see the Holy Ghost. Nothing wrong with shouting. Nothing wrong with shouting, you know. I shouldn't have said that. Now I've got to explain it. No, I don't have to explain it. Okay. Praise the Lord. But I said, "Tell your song leader to cool it." And he's still trying to figure out that. But that day, 41, I don't know why the 42nd one didn't. There was 42 people, 8 years and older, in that service that didn't have the Holy Ghost. And 41 of them received the Holy Ghost. Two of them were a brother and sister, adult brothers and sisters. And their father was dying with cancer of the lungs and of the larynx. Had 2 months to live. And they came to their pastor and said, "Can we go with Brother Cole tonight?" And I was going to Lancaster, Ohio, where Brother R.G. Cook was still the pastor in those days. And can we take him in an ambulance? He said, "By all means." He came, and he tried so hard to receive the Holy Ghost. He did whatever I told him to do. He was sitting, and he would try to say hallelujah. And he said, "Hallelujah, hallelujah," and blood poured out of his mouth. And I said, "Oh, God," and I grabbed my handkerchief and over his mouth, and I said, "Stop this blood in Jesus' name." And the blood stopped. And I said, "Brother, you're too weak to raise your hands and don't speak. I want you to sit. Put your hands on your knees. Rest just as much as you possibly can. And I want you to meditate on the Lord. I don't know if you'll feel it or hear it, but there'll be strange words come to you. And when it does, open your mouth and speak." Many others received the Holy Ghost, and in about 15 minutes, his hands raised. They were trembling from weakness, and he began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God did the utterance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have seen the rich and the intelligent. Remember the widow, one of the men that was a member of the cabinet of Nehru in India. She was such a splendid woman. Maybe she's been here and visited. Sister Auntie Lewis? Oh, you've seen her. Such a splendid woman. So intelligent. And we had wanted to go into Northeast India because there was thousands and thousands of people in those days baptized in Jesus' name, but not many had the Holy Ghost. And so Brother Sism was quite concerned about this. But we couldn't go. Because of a war, we couldn't go. So we pooled all of our money and brought 14 of the elders to Delhi. We were absolute bankrupt when they got there. We couldn't afford a room or food for them. But it was an act of faith. And Sister Lewis opened up her very large home, and she offered to feed them and to house them while they were there. And our hopes was to give them a seminar, and then they in turn could pray their people through to the Holy Ghost. And so we brought them to the house. And one day, Brother Sism said to me, "Mrs. Lewis is so kind to us. And she is oft times in Washington, D.C. And she has some kind of a pass that she can just go and come as she pleases." And so, but anyhow, she came to the service one night. And I said, "Oh, Brother Sism, if we can just get her to raise her hands one time and praise the Lord, she'll receive the Holy Ghost." And so I tricked her. You know, the Apostle Paul said, "By all means, save some." And I asked her to come and sit close to me, lest the interpreter would miss what I was saying and spoil my message. She spoke 5 languages fluently. She spoke Oxford English. Her English was so much better than mine. And I said, "Sit here, and if he says something wrong, you can correct him without offense." So she agreed. And just as she sat down, I said to those Assam brethren, "Let's worship the Lord." And I'm telling you, when you say to Assam people, "Worship God," they are something else. They go 2 steps forward, 1 step back. And around they go. And the only way you can get them to stop is to beat a drum, you know. The only way they'll stop. And while they were worshiping the Lord, I laid my hand upon her shoulder, and I said, "Mrs. Lewis, why don't you just like a child, one time, lift your hands and praise the Lord?" And she lifted her hands and said, "Oh, God, you know that I love you." That was the last thing she said that she could understand. She began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Hallelujah! Later, she embraced Sister Sism and was so happy. I said, "How do you feel now?" She said, "Oh, Brother Cole, this is a smashing experience indeed." Praise God. And I have seen the poor. I have seen the outcast of the poor receive the Holy Ghost. In Thailand, my job was to travel among the churches to instruct them, to lay hands upon them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And one brother invited me to come to a new church. He had not informed me that every member was a leper in a leper's village. They were so poor, just little bamboo and grass houses. We had church under the shade of a tree. A pile of lumber became their pews, and a fence post was my pulpit. Their fingers was gone, their hands was gone. But I watched them as they raised the stubs of their hands and began speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. What does it mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. Brother Cole, you've said that to us before. Nobody knows that better than me. But you folks are in a whole new dimension. Your ears are hearing something different tonight than you ever heard before. God's visitation has come upon this church. And you're going to see apostolic power like you have never seen it before. I have already preached too long. I want you to listen to me very carefully. God, in the next few minutes, is going to perform some very profound miracles. I want everyone in this building, if you love God, If first of all you believe